Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today, we're going to be covering my favorite event of the year in Fresno, Porch Fest. I have three guests on to tell us more about the event and this particular upcoming Porch Fest. The first one is Jessica Mindren, who's the lead organizer of Porch Fest. We also have Joshua DeFisher, who is the social media and merch lead, and then Aaliyah Navarro, who's a three-time Porch Fest host. Each of these individuals offers a different perspective and an interesting insights on what makes Porch Fest go, what's beautiful about it, and what to expect in this upcoming year's event. So I know you'll enjoy this episode, and Baker will take us there. To infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best. Fresno's best. Welcome. Where do each of you like to eat in Fresno?
Modo in Tower District.
Okay. What is your Modo order? Is it a sandwich, salad, or something else?
Sandwich and a salad.
Okay. What's your go-to sandwich? What's the best sandwich at Modo?
The turkey melt.
The turkey melt.
So I actually got the most recent thing I got was a turkey melt with their tomato bisque soup.
Ooh.
Great for dipping. It was delicious.
Yeah. It's probably the place I eat most. Joshua, what about you? Where do you like to eat in Fresno?
Besides, I think Don Pepe's is probably my all-time favorite at the moment, but I've really liked Thai Wok Cafe on Bullard and Marks lately. I've been craving their drunken noodle once a week.
Oh, I've never been there. What? So you said it's First and Bullard? Is that what you said?
Bullard and Shaw. No, sorry. Shaw and Marks.
Shaw and Marks. Okay. What sets it apart for you?
I worked in Alaska and they had a really good Thai food restaurant there. I fell in love with Thai food and I've been on the search for it since I got to Fresno a few years ago. And it's the closest. It's just the drunken noodle is amazing. The pad Thai is great.
Mm.
Sticky rice is really good too, I've heard. I haven't had it yet, but the mango sticky rice there tastes like you're on a beach in Thailand.
Before I lived in Fresno, I lived in different parts of LA. And where I lived in Pasadena, there was an incredible Thai place just like right around the corner from my apartment. And I would just like walk over there because they always had this lunch special. And I have struggled to find Thai food that I was excited about. So I'll have to try that. Aaliyah, what about you? Where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I'm going to pull two of mine. Modo and Don Pepe's are two of my favorites. Okay. However, I also would throw out Ito Ya as one of my favorites. I love a place where you can go get sushi and actually sit at a sushi bar and ask the person to like make you something they want to make you or and things like that. And it's one of the places in Fresno I feel like you can have a good experience doing that.
So what's your definition of a good sushi roll then?
Honestly, I'm a big on just very simple, like really tasting the fish. So a lot of times, again, I like going in place and saying, what do you want to serve me right now? What do you guys got that's really great? And so for me, it's just a really good cut of fish.
Okay. So you're just going to sit at that counter with that like little sliver of rice with that beautifully placed piece of fish on top.
Yes.
That's your ideal world.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yep.
That's a disagreement in my household. My partner prefers things that I have like a slightly fried exterior and I prefer I prefer to actually taste the fish that I'm eating.
Yeah, I want just fish pretty much, yeah.
We're just a few days out from one of my favorite things in Fresno, which is Porch Fest. And I'm excited to have all three of you here. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. I had an interview with Jeremy last year that kind of talked about Porch Fest, but just as a reminder for folks, like the concept emerged out of a crisis and it's now become a fixture, which is a wonderful thing. But who would like to just define what it is and like what it's become as a starting point?
The development of Porch Fest, it grows every year. And every year we see more and more eclectic experiences, whether it's beat poetry or karaoke, live painting. It's constantly growing and developing into something really natural for art to travel through, which is different mediums. And I'm really excited every time I see a flyer come in. We've gotten more flyers this year than ever before, and every flyer is so different. And it's everyone's little chance to draw up their creativity and put their favorite music next to their favorite art right on their front porch for everybody to see. And that came out of a place where people didn't have the ability to socialize or to go outside and explore the community and build relationships. So for something so colorful to come out of something so gray, I think it is really like a success story.
Yeah. And I guess my question is, it's such a massive sprawling event. And Joshua, you just described like its natural evolution. How do you like maintain like a sense of identity and mission for something that's not running itself, but like evolving in its own way? Like, how do you guys think about that?
We look at other Porch Fests first to develop a general identity for the style of event. And then what sets us apart within other Porch Fests is letting the homeowner curate everything and not getting in that business at all. We do all the curation for porches happens through word of mouth or Facebook. And that has helped us focus on behind the scenes stuff, the operation side, and make the experience good for the attendees. We have 90 porches this year. As far as I know, there's maybe one other Porch Fest in America, Petworth Porch Fest out of DC. They have about 126, which is all organic as well. And yeah, we're right up there with the biggest in the country, thanks to the support of the locals and the very thriving local music scene that we have. Kind of funny seeing 390 bands come out of the woodwork.
It's incredible. Yeah, I love just wandering around and going, who are you? And like, just like stopping for a while and just spending some time. I'm going to jump to Aaliyah next because I want to learn about the side of the host, because I have not covered that at all in my previous coverage of Porch Fest. Like what it's actually like. Maybe Aaliyah, maybe we'll just start with a basic question. Like, why'd you choose to do it?
Choosing to do it was an obvious for me. Actually, this is going to be my third year hosting. And so the first few years, I was just an attendee, loved it, loved the format of everything, loved participating in it. When it first started, I lived on the outskirts of the perimeter. I don't know that I could get a good draw out here. I don't know that it'd be great. So in 2022, I bought a house on Linden, right in the heart of Tower. And it wasn't even a question. Like, I got that house and was like, cool. And now I get to be a porch host.
It's like buying the house so you can be a porch host a little
yeah,
bit.
I mean, sometimes I think about that probably was a really large motivator. But yeah, and so, yeah, it was not a question whether I was going to do it or not. And I've always loved the music scene and the art scene here in Fresno. I'm a born and raised Fresnan, and I've always participated in different ways. And kind of what Josh is talking about is that organic and that we get to do it ourselves and curate it ourselves. And I think it gives, Porch Fest actually gives a platform to people that previously didn't think that they could. Like, I've always been a person that has had the dream of one day maybe starting a venue in Fresno or something of that sort, but there's so much that goes into that, such a commitment. But once a year, I get to live out that dream and get to curate not only just music and just general community and vibe at my little porch, and get to have that opportunity to put that creative skill set to use. And I'm not a musician by any means, but I love the art form. So being able to bring people together for it is my creative skill set. So I get to, again, put that dream to use. So for me, choosing to be a porch host is quite a given. And I think for a lot of people, especially those that started early on, it was, yes, I've always wanted to curate something, but it can be intimidating to do that alone. And so on Porch Fest, we're all doing that together.
Yeah, because I think for some people, most people are just going to show up once the music's already started. What does it actually look like? What happens all the way leading up to when
all
the
way
first,
leading up to it?
Yeah, when the first chord gets hit.
Yeah, actually, so that actually is exactly a kind of a moment that is always iconic to me in my head about Porch Fest. So my porch, we've for the last few years started bright and early, like right at 10 a.m. when it starts. And I've had the same first musician. It's artist called That Guy Kevin, and he's a bit of a folky Americana style. And the first time, or the first chord he strikes on his guitar, you just see people start coming in from all over, these different, almost like they've appeared out of thin air, just coming in. And it's just like this moment where it's like, it started, like it's here. So, and it's really cool feeling in that moment. But leading up to that, it's honestly mainly a lot of communication, a lot of just making sure you're communicating with those that are participating in your porch and making sure you're setting expectations and setting timelines and things for people that are going to be participating with your porch, finding out who's interested. And just, yeah, from my perspective, it's mainly a bunch of communication and kind of deciding internally, like, what's the general, do I have a kind of general vibe I'm trying to go to, a certain genre or anything of that sort, and just a lot of communication and creating some content if I want to, creating a fun flyer for everybody to know what I'm doing and whatnot. But yeah, that first chord is a beautiful moment.
Let me ask Josh and Jessica this question. When you're thinking about the event, are you also considering, is there like a ulterior motive that, like, by encouraging people to communicate with musicians, like, you're actually building a community via networking just to facilitate the event? Is that something that's thought, like, intentionally, or is that just a corollary benefit that's just happened through the production of this? Or how do we think about that structurally?
Yeah, so that's actually the whole purpose of this, is to bring everyone together, create a networking event for people. Speaking on the musician side of, people form bands just for Porch Fest, or people come together that haven't played in years, or they just jam out first time ever. It's a community that we're trying to bring together for the music, for the art, even food vendors, just people that are like-minded in an area that is so rich in community. And we have a Porch Fest, Friends of Tower Porch Fest Facebook group. And because Josh was mentioning, we don't curate any of the mini festivals on the porches. We hand it over to the community. So there's porch hosts, there's performers, there's food vendors, there's artists of different mediums. So we really lead everybody to that page to start the conversations and watch it grow from there.
Wow. Aaliyah, do you feel like your porch has developed a culture of its own? There are certain kinds of, not kinds of people, but like culture, like porches have vibes is what I've figured out. Like different porches are certain kinds of ways. Then there's some porches that are like much more chaotic and some that are more subdued. What's the culture of your porch and how do you think that emerged?
I feel like, honestly, like I mentioned, I didn't host for the first few years. And so when I kind of came in, I assumed there was going to be this like newbie porch. We'll see how much kind of steam I get. I had just through, again, community and the existing kind of Porch Fest communications and things that are happening. I had started my first year with a really solid lineup of really great musicians that I was really stoked on. And a lot of them were just people that were connected to me in one way or the other. I wasn't a whole lot of people that I never knew before. It was me reaching out to my community that already existed. And that happened to have a lot of more like bluesy, jazzy, funky kinds of sounds within that. And so that kind of set the tone for that year. And again, I thought I was going to be scraping by, be like, hopefully some people come out, it'll be great. And the first year, it great because of having some really talented musicians on my porch. I was gifted a very good crowd of people. And the first year, honestly, was like, I don't know really what to do with this, except for just let it exist and see what it is. And it's helped me set the format of some of the, I have some bands that are almost taking like residency on my porch, which I so appreciate that they want to participate in my porch every year. And then a few new ones and keeping it very eclectic, but also it tends to have a very like groovy feel to it. Like it's a lot of stuff you can dance to or feels very organic music wise. And I feel like it's something that can reach everybody also. So I feel like my porch has created a very just, I don't even know if I can like curate the vibe in one word or anything, but it's just a very open. And also, I also promote a lot of participation on my porch as well in that vibe of you're there and you're part of the audience. Get up and dance, be a part of it. Don't just sit and spectate, get on the lawn, hang out, throw a blanket down, be a part of our porch as much as possible. And so I think that kind of has created just a very organic feel to my porch as well. And again, every year I am just excited when people show up and what do you guys need? What do you guys want? And what are we doing here? And yeah, I don't know. So I know it's not a very great answer, but for me, I honestly am caught every year like, I'm just here to let this be what it needs to be. And so I'm always just excited about it.
Let me ask you, Josh and Jessica, again, do people, as they do it over time, do people need more help at the beginning? Like your porch hosts, I have a lot more questions, need more support from the infrastructure, and then over time they get more and more independent, autonomous, and self-reliant? Or do you find that people can just jump in and run their porch smoothly without a lot of support?
That's a really great question. From my viewpoint, they take it and run with it.
Yeah.
The community talks. This is not something that anyone has a high skill set in and keeps it to themselves. They want to share. So there's tips and tricks verbally. I hear it happening at Goldstein's or at Modo, or these chatters. And it's what gives me the goosebumps. It's so beautiful. No, yes, there is communication as far as some emails I send out to porch hosts in a mass message and to keep everyone on the same page. However, there's things that other people have experienced who can chime in and yeah, we all just feed off of each other.
As a social media coordinator, I've spent a lot of time monitoring the Friends of Tower Porch Fest group, and it's got a few chats on it. And most of the problems that people would post, either with submitting lineups or like the porch portal, were answered by other porch hosts before I even got the chance to get to it.
I mean, it sounds like almost a, not to use the word, but anarchic organization where there's just not, it's decentralized leadership. It's got all those kind of like trademark attributes of an organization like that, which those are the best. Those are the best when they're, you don't have one person dictating culture, vibes, all those kinds of things. If you want that, go to Coachella. But if you want something that's authentic to a community, come to something like Porch Fest. I have one more question for Aaliyah, and then we're going to back out to the bigger perspective. Let's say you were to start over. You just bought a new house. You're starting from scratch from Porch Fest. What's one thing that you might do differently this go around if you were to re just imagine you're like in the mind of someone that's about to start their first year hosting a Porch Fest. What would you tell that person?
To be honest, if I was to do it differently, or I feel like if I was to do it differently, or if I was to say something to a first-time porch host, it might be different. If I was to do something differently, I don't know that there's too much, but one thing I do miss as being a host is running around the other houses and seeing everything. And so I potentially would modify it by, I run a pretty tight schedule on my porch from start to end, and I potentially would change something about that and give myself some time to go just jump on my bike and run around again. I do miss that. I don't
Can
ever
you
really like
step away at points, or is that too hard?
I you it all depends. Again, I'm very big on utilizing my community and being letting people join in on my porch as well. So sometimes I do have people that are willing to be there and help and take a lot of the brunt of it off of me. So that I do have a little bit more freedom and autonomy, but then I love all my performers on my porch. I wouldn't walk away while one of them are performing because I want to see them. I asked them to be there for a reason. So with the fact that I gridlock my schedule, I maybe can get like 20 minutes between sets while somebody else is helping the band set up the sound, but it's not too much. But that's a choice I made. So again, if I was to maybe redo it, I would maybe think about that and say, okay, maybe I'm just going to do start later in the day and earlier or something of that sort. And I say that, but I fully could do that right now, and I wouldn't.
So that's a
Because
potential thing
honestly,
that people could do. But I get it.
yeah,
No.
something people would do.
Yeah,
But yeah, because it's one of those things where it's, I have FOMO about it as I'm thinking about it right now, as people are talking about what they're doing at their porches. Because like Jessica mentioned, it truly gives me goosebumps. Like just last night, I was out in Tower at Goldstein's, and we're all talking about Porch Fest. Everybody's gearing up. Like it is the topic. And that's, of course, it's almost a week away, so it's very hot right now. But even months ago, people are talking about it. People are asking me, oh, are you having a porch this year? Do you know anybody that's going to be on your lineup yet this year? Or stuff of like, especially people that are artists and porch hosts, like, you know you're part of that community, so talking about it really early and stuff. And yeah, like when I hear some of that stuff, I get the FOMO. On the day of, I am loving seeing the community in my front yard and hearing my bands, all my friends and talented musicians, and like all these people participating right there in my home. Like, where else would I want to be? When I think about it, I get a little FOMO.
Yeah. Let's transition to Josh now. I want to ask some questions about social media. How do you make sure that Porch Fest is covered effectively on social media because it's so distributed over so many places. And you probably want to have some element of control over the quality of the content you push through social. So, like, how do you manage all of that?
I was in charge of it for the very first time last year, and my goal was to link up with a photographer and get some content taken, as well as reaching out to the previous year's posters through Instagram and Facebook. I always do some detective work before the event to see what I can accumulate through posts. And it wasn't enough doing one photographer last year. So I did some more detective work to get my photo content for this year's postings, but I made it a point this year to really let the community do that work for me and delegate it out this year. And I put that energy out and reached out to some local high school photo teachers who are putting together a permission slip next week to go out to their students so that they can come out and shoot photography. And with the hopes of potentially maybe doing a gallery show to showcase the students' art. And at the pre-party, I met up with Diego Ortega, who runs Fresno Photo Walk. And he had, the night before the pre-party, he had posted that they were planning a Tower Porch Fest photo walk. So I linked up with him at the pre-party and got a map over to him. So he developed a route. And we've got a QR code for anybody participating to scan, and it goes directly into a folder within our photos in our Google Drive. So that sort of will be the launch pad for the future social network content gathering and identity crisis that we've been with because everyone's photo has a different style of photography and.
Yeah. It almost seems like you should do some kind of photo book because, like, social media, like, we talk about this all the time. With the number of pictures we take, there's like picture inflation where it's like the pictures matter less. But if you have a beautiful photo book of Porch Fest 2024 or something like that, I don't know. It seems like there's ways to distribute these photos so they are part of the historical memory of a city.
And that's a good way to bring in the community again, because I'm sure there's someone in this community who's great at compiling and producing photo books. And yeah, this is the fifth one. So maybe after this year, we can create like a 5 years of Porch Fest photo book. It's a great idea.
We'll be sure to get you one.
Yeah.
You'll be
I would
the
love one.
first.
So, Josh, if I were to go back at last year's and just only look at social media posts from the event, what do you think I would learn out of it that I maybe don't learn just by attending it? Because you only get a slice, right? Like last year, I started just directly west of Fresno High and then moved around and ended up at a friend's house a couple blocks away from Spokeasy. And so I had a little path, and so I missed huge chunks of it.
So one of the things that we do after each event is we'll put people's attendees' stories on Instagram into a highlight section on our Instagram profile. So you can actually go back and check all the way back to 2021, everyone's stories from that. And that has always been my living vicariously task at the end of the every Porch Fest is I go on the Instagram and just spend 5, 10 seconds looking at each story and seeing what I missed and making mental notes of epic experiences that I don't even have FOMO on because I had such a great experience at the porches that I was at. It's hard to get FOMO because like you're everywhere you can be, and most people get really tired by the end of the day, whether or not they saw it or not.
I have something to add to that. What comes to mind is our map that we have and our plan your day feature, which is kind of like a build your own itinerary. For someone who just stumbles upon Porch Fest walking around outside, you're really following your nose to the food, you're following your ears to the music, right? And there's no, all the map and the plan your day feature is strictly on the phone. And that's something that Josh has been highlighting really well, is leading people there to really plan your day. Because, like you said, you don't really know what all is out there because you can't be everywhere all at once. And we only have 10 to 7.
Can I ask you? This is like something I thought about. So, just this last week, I was in Mexico City with some friends, and our friends are from LA. And they, in the evenings, when we were all burnt out from tacos and tequila, we'd just sit on the couch and watch Coachella live because they're doing those live streams. Do you think Porch Fest would do like live videos from different venues, or do you not like that concept because it takes away from the authenticity Let me ask, just all I want to hear from both of you, but I'll start with Aaliyah. Would you like a live feed, or do you want people to
I
have
was
to
going
come
to
to your
say,
house?
yeah, I feel like that's one of the things where I'm like, I feel like that would be like a more of a host thing to do if you wanted to do a live feed. For me personally, I don't know that I would. I tend to post some stories and things during the day of what's happening so that, because people do want to check out what's happening. Like, what's the
Yeah.
feel over there? What's the vibe over there? Do I want to go walk or bike all the way over there? Giving people a little glimpse of that, but I don't want to give away everything. I want you to be there. I like to be my approach to be participatory. It's like one for my porch is one for the people. It's for you. So you need to be here and participating in it to make it be what it needs or what I want it to be, really. But I don't know. I don't think I would. I think I maybe again would maybe do little snippets of things online, but
Just
I
tease
want you
people.
there.
Yeah,
You
tease
know,
them a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of more of like, even if you're like, oh yeah, I saw that, and okay, yeah, sure, you saw that video, but you weren't there. You didn't get that feel, that heart feel. I
Yeah.
want you there
Let
for that.
Josh, Jessica, do you guys have thoughts about that, about live feeds of stuff?
It was talked about specifically for ADA
That's a
before.
good point. Yeah.
And
It's something that I've flirted with the idea of, as far as gathering the production equipment it would take and the staff to monitor. It's a possibility, but not quite in our wheelhouse just yet. But it's something that I would think about in the future. We don't have a main stage. Some other porch fests in the country, they'll run beer gardens for an after, usually from around 2 or 4, or even as late as 6 to around 10. And in that situation, I see it being advantageous to supply 20 different porch hosts with video recording and streaming equipment, and to distribute and pick that back up would be, it's a little out of our wheelhouse at the moment, but we're thinking
That
about
sounds like a fundraising campaign
yeah,
to
and we're thinking about it for accessibility, because not a lot of people, there's not everybody can get out of the house for Porch Fest, and it's something that's a great thing to experience. So the more people that get to experience, the better.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add on to what both of you said. There is so much beauty in actually physically being there to really feel the vibe that the porch is trying to create or what everyone is creating together. But also what Josh said with the ADA accessibility, there is a very special place in my heart to provide that for people. And Porch Fest, our crew is growing as people have niches and are trying to give to the community in a certain way. And I feel like if this word gets out, there might be someone out there, some tech crew who would love to come together and make this happen.
Yeah, let's get C-Mac on it. On it, C-Mac.
Yeah.
So let's jump back to the kind of 20,000-foot perspective. And I'm going to preface this question by talking about another situation going on in Fresno. I don't know if you guys heard, this is just Fresno gossip. Here we go. There's some gossip in the kind of Facebook group or whatever kind of online organization for Christmas Tree Lane, the thought about taking away walking days because there's too much drama with walking days. I forget the exact reason, which always is, every kind of self-organized event is always on that knife edge where you have to, like, it's got to be the right place with the right people and all that kind of stuff. Why do you think Tower is able to manage such a wild, chaotic event so well? What makes Tower unique? Because there's lots of porches. We could find porches across the city, some, at least not everywhere, but a lot of places. So, like, why does it work here?
I'd like to say, as a Tower resident for the last 15 years, Tower Porch Fest is not the only day that Tower is chaotic, and that's probably one of the main reasons.
There you go.
Very well said. Yeah. Also, Christmas Tree Lane is now at a chaotic point where they're considering it, but how many years are we in? Where did it start? Where were they in their first years?
Yeah,
Five.
yeah,
Where
yeah,
we're
yeah.
at our five. Wait, in 10 years, Tower may not be able to handle the capacity. And it may be a conversation then. I doubt it.
Are you worried about the kind of art hop situation where the city gets too involved? Are you concerned about that?
No, I think that we are doing a really good job taking care of our neighbors and the community. And Josh is doing a really good job on social media, reminding people that these are people's homes, that they are inviting you. It's an open invite. Please respect them. Please respect the streets around it, the businesses, respect each other. We want to have this year after year, and please be the reason that we're allowed to, is our messaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from local businesses, your brick and mortars, about the event?
that they want to sponsor. So the way to be able to be on our map as a business with your activities is to be a gold level sponsor. And what that allows you to do is basically run a porch from your business. And I'd say 50 to 75% of the businesses that come to us as sponsors have had conversations with us about how they saw Porch Fest as a beneficial day for their business year after year, to the point where now they want to utilize the traffic by having an event there and come to us for that last final step.
How do they view, because sometimes there's conflict between the brick and mortars and your street vendors and like that whole world. How have you guys mitigated any potential conflicts, or how do they just work well together? What's the experience?
Yeah, so I believe that every business is in it together, right? They're there Porch Fest Day and every other day. So the only kind of competition we're seeing is sound bleed,
Okay.
but this is business. I haven't personally heard any complaints. Have you?
No, it's pretty much busy business as usual. So, for instance, like people might stop by, people heading from one porch from one side of town to another on the other, will stop into Lucy's for a drink or stop at, Ampersand for some ice cream. It's a busy Saturday so businesses are looking at enhanced profits during the day of Porch Fest, and we haven't had any complaints yet, which is phenomenal.
Let's just talk about this year. So what's happening this year?
I'm the most excited about this Plan Your Day feature on the website. It was conceptualized a couple of years ago, but didn't never made it past the drawing board. And at a meeting in February, we pushed for it to happen. We got another tech guy. And as soon as we had a little bit more help on that side and felt it out and what he was comfortable with, we pitched it, and it came together beautifully. We spent the last 2 weeks tweaking it here, side, like just little things, and now it's available. It's pulling up 81 of 90 porches, it's just waiting on a few more people to finish their lineup times. But it's a great way for people to.
Yeah, explain what it is in granular detail. Give us the overview of what we'll be able to do.
Okay, so it allows you to filter by genre, by time, whether or not there's food vendors and whether or not there's kids activities. And from there, through the search function, you can search for a porch based on the address, the porch name, or a performer, a specific performer. So it's like a one-stop shop next to the map that allows you to view performers, what porch they're at, in a sort of like note, like cards. And you can take those cards and add them to your own personal itinerary, which you can view as a calendar or as a list and export.
Wow.
Yeah, you can export it a few different ways to your Google Calendar. You can export it through CSV, which allows you to basically make a spreadsheet out of it. And yeah, it's the one-stop shop that we've been waiting for to streamline and organize the attendees' perspective of it, because it's chaotic to. There's 90 flyers nowadays, like scrolling.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I was thinking about this. Not everyone is I'm going to take a gummy and wander around and find a hot dog. Like, there are some people that are like, I am type A and I only want to see things I like. And so I saw that as a potential obstacle. So this sounds like a perfect solution for that. Aaliyah, are you worried that people, though, are going to only go to the things and they're going to miss out on those like accidents from a
No, because
porch
there's too
person
many type
perspective?
B people that just are going to just be like, I don't know. I'm that person, like with as a not when I'm participating and not a host or in just general in my life, I can look at that and I've seen it. It's really cool. I love it. There's a lot of input. I'm gonna follow my heart on that day.
And it
So I
seems
think
like
there's a lot of that still.
it's perfect for different types of people. So like for me, like I haven't tied my shoes in 10 years. Like my partner's closet is about as organized as it can be. Just different flavors of human need different kinds of things in order to feel like it was a good experience. So what
I think
about
it
mute?
that gives it to both people because yeah, you can definitely also just wander around
Yeah,
and
I'm a
have a great
wanderer.
time.
Yep, I'm a
Yeah,
wanderer.
same.
I'll be asleep on someone's lawn. In terms of like music this year, are there any changes, any updates? Because I sometimes you'll get like an emphasis of kind of one genre or an emphasis of one type of music. And how do you make sure that there's not a street that's all, or are you okay if there's a street that there's like a single vibe, or you know what I'm asking that? Sorry, it's a kind of a everywhere kind of question.
So this year there are some clusters of homes, and we don't curate anything. So it's really all the porch hosts collaborating, hopefully, and talking about what time they're planning their event, and working together, turning the music a different direction, or kind of alternating your lineup.
So people self-organize in order to create some diversity in the content. That's great.
I don't know that they are in order to create diversity. However, it is just natural that
Okay.
happens. I have
There's
seen
90 portraits.
flyer
There's a
where
lot of
there's a
variety.
DJ and there's bluegrass and then there's poetry reading. So diverse. It's incredible. There are also houses where there's 22 DJs all day long. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But this year, one thing that we added to the genre list is drag. We also have
Oh.
sound practitioner, so like sound bath, a few other ones, very specific genres, trap house. Yeah, so it's been interesting to build that list.
It's part of the chaos of it that I love. That is what Porch Fest is. For instance, we have one of our buddies is playing folk music in between halfway down Lucerne with two DJ porches like on the left, stage left and stage right.
Yeah.
And the networking relationship building that's going on between neighbors through this is really special. And we do a little bit of monitoring when the map starts populating to notify potential sound bleed situations.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. What would you cap a block at? Because you can't have music going at every single house, right?
This is where we're coming to. This is now a conversation this year of, yeah, where do we cap houses just even as an event space? Where do we cap performers on the back of our shirt? What kind of
Yeah.
guidelines do we have? And we really push this to the community, to the porch hosts, to the musicians. And Aaliyah, I think you've had a house where you don't really have competition, but as a porch host, is this something that like you've come across, even with
No,
speaking to your neighbors?
yeah, not so much. Again, where I'm located, it is a little bit of a benefit that I'm not fully surrounded by neighbors. My cross the street neighbor is a Sequoia parking lot, so that kind of minimizes some of that. And I'm also like, from a neighbor's perspective, my neighbors don't mind the noise because they already live backed up to Bobby's and Lucy's. They're used to noise on every given day. This day, at least, it's a little more participatory and something they're wanting to be a part of. And there's definitely a few other venue or and I've for the last few years, there's been a few other porches on my block. And I see this year that there's, I think, two within a few houses of me, but I've never really had too much of a
Yeah.
Personally, I don't feel like Porch Fest is a day to say the word competitive because I don't think we're really competing with each other. But the noise like bleed situation, honestly, not really. It's spaced out far enough. And I think, again, when you're like right there on somebody's porch, you're focused on that. I have had it where I've walked away before just to like see. And sure, if I go somewhere in the middle, I can hear us both. But if anything, again, the wanderer that gives them the choice, to listen through one ear and the other and choose which way they're going to go. So yeah, I've never really felt that way, but I definitely could see it. If yeah, my next door neighbor decided they wanted to be a host, I would maybe be a little bit like, okay, I think we're going to have to collaborate.
Yeah, it almost seems like you have a couple options. You could have 2 days of Porch Fest, which sounds like a nightmare organizationally, I'm sure. And then you start to have time slots where one porch does 1 to 2, another porch does 2 to 3, and you have breaks. But that seems like those are wonderful problems, right? It
Yeah.
just means
For
you're.
me as a host, if my next door neighbor said they wanted to also be a host, I would say, cool, let's just like work together and we'll split time. then I would be able to maybe have some of my day being where I participate running around, you
Yeah,
know?
honestly, in a perfect world, every house and tower is hosting a porch, right?
Yeah.
And then, and what happens is the lawns just turn into one. All every lawn just turns into one foot lawn.
Yeah. Let's talk about volunteers, the unsung heroes of the day. So, what are the kinds of volunteers you have and what do they do?
Yeah, so we have a few different areas that we'd like people to volunteer. One is our main thing would be safety. And so just keeping people out of the streets, on keeping them on the sidewalk, on the grass preferred. There are some events that are just so large. And also people want to stay by their bikes and their backpacks and their coolers, and the party's too big. It's a great problem to have. And so that comes into another thing with talking to your neighbors of, can we also use your grass? But safety is one. We've got mobile merch sales, also checking sound bleed. We would like to keep for everyone to keep their decibel at the appropriate level, which,
It's the 75 decibels from the middle of the street.
yeah.
We haven't really encouraged the purchasing of decibel meters yet, but we're probably going to get there.
Yeah. And then let's see, any other
Helping
volunteers?
out at the info booth. The
Yeah.
info booth is going to be across from the Tower Theater at the kiosk this year, and we'll have a few volunteers in per shift helping us answer any questions, point people in the right direction, sell some merch.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What I want to hear from each of you to close. What are you most excited about that for this year?
I'm excited for Tower Porch Fest. That's the entire
Yeah.
day that I've been.
Oh, come on. That's a cop out. Give me something slightly more specific, just a little bit specific.
Yeah, I as merch lead, I'm ready to see a sellout of some shirts. We held on to some last year,
Is
but
there any new designs on the merch? What do we got?
we got new everything, man. We do a new logo, new front logo every year, and this year it has Aaliyah's house on it. That's the big yellow house
Woohoo!
there. That's starting the first of the tradition where we pick a porch and use their porch as the logo for for next year's shirt. I want people to stay tuned for next year's shirt, which is going to be another local awesome tower house. That is on our 2025 shirt, which has every band performing on the back, most of them, about
What
300.
size is that font?
It's about a
It's
10.
yeah.
Yeah. And then we ran a new edition of timeless t-shirts that have just Tower Porch Fest on it, like a low ink, low sweat patch, nice light denim blue colored shirt. We offered youth sizes in that one as well, which is new, and some cool new holographic stickers and koozies. We got new koozies this year. Bandanas are a little revamped. They're very similar to the old ones, but they're a little cooler. But excited to sell some merch.
Nice. Jessica, what are you excited for?
I am so excited that after years of trying to get my family to this event, my sister is coming with one of her three sons, and I cannot wait to see him dancing. I can't wait to dance with him. I'm so excited.
Where does she live locally or?
He lives in Grass Valley up north.
Okay.
Yeah. And her son Barrett is what, three, four? So yeah, get ready, Aaliyah. We're bringing
Yeah.
the young ones in. The crowd keeps getting
Yep,
younger and younger,
we
which is
definitely have a small dancing child crew. Yeah,
yeah.
Aaliyah,
what are you excited for?
Oh gosh. I'm always just really excited to be able to like share the event with people from outside of Fresno because it's something that I love Fresno in general and especially on that day. And I get the unique opportunity to be able to help share it with other people from outside of the Fresno community. And to side note, the house that I host at, it actually is like a guest house. It is the entire house is dedicated to hosting people that are traveling through Fresno from other places. And so on Porch Fest, I shut it down to only people specifically coming for the event. And so I've friends and people that are connected know that's how I do it and will send people my way, and I get to fill it from pe with people from other places. And actually this year somebody snuck in on me and booked way back in October for April 26th. And so I reached out to them and said, you might want to cancel your reservation. It's going to be a really loud and crazy hectic day here, and I don't know if you were looking for somewhere quiet. And I told them and gave them a rundown, and they said, that sounds so exciting. We're so excited to be there. So there's going to be two people from Italy
That
that I
is
get to share
awesome.
with.
Buongiorno. Welcome to Fresno.
Yeah, exactly. I said, yay, you get to experience the best day in Fresno.
The heart of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last question. It's the hardest question. I want an answer from each of you. What is your ideal temperature at 2 p.m. on Porch Fest? Josh, what's your ideal temperature?
71 degrees.
71. Okay, that's not going to happen, but that sounds ideal. Jessica, what about you?
I have actually been checking the weather like every hour because I'm so excited. And right now the temps are showing, I think, 65, and
What?
I will take,
No.
you can trust but verify right now.
Yeah, seriously, I'm on my phone.
So we've had some
Oh
really,
my God.
we've
Is
had
that
such
almost too cold? Is that too cold?
So the after parties, people are going to be coming from all over. They're going to have to bring layers. This is like a new post you got to
Yeah,
send out, hun.
$10 if it's 71 degrees at 2 o'clock, right?
I think, hold on, let's go through our temperatures first. So, Jessica, your ideal temperature is
55.
65. Leah, your ideal temperature is
Somewhat of a joke, 69. That is
69. Yeah,
absolutely
that's my number two.
the best
So, because I remember last year, I think by 3 p.m. I was sweating bullets. I think I it was a tank day, not a t like long sleeve t-shirt day. So, any changes structurally, Jessica, that you'll need to account for, like the different, maybe cooler weather?
We are gonna plan on bringing easy ups for the info booth, and that was for the sun. Now I'm just thinking having some layers and
Rain
prepping
sweater.
that. Yeah, I'm going to leave the sunblock at home probably. It'll be a nice day to get my base coat on. But yeah.
Wow. I'm so excited. If I'm imagining most people listening have been, but if you haven't been, don't miss the best day in the city. Come on. Like, it's the best day in the city. Like, it's where we all get to just have fun together outside. Fun day in the sun, maybe a cooler sun, but yeah, don't miss it. And if people are interested in volunteering or helping out, like I've got a couple friends in my life that love to take pictures. Like, how do they go about doing this? Can you talk through logistics of getting involved? And how does one become an Aaliyah?
We encourage everybody looking for info or to participate to go to our website, towerporchfest.org. You can sign up to be a porch host next year there. You can volunteer to be a safety info booth, photography. That's something we're doing new this year, is encouraging volunteer photographers to come in. And yeah, if any sort of integration you'd like, this is a community committee. So, any ideas or love that you want to share with us, just come to our website and we'll direct you from there.
Yeah, and also we've got an email. It's towerporchfest@gmail.com. Any questions, concerns, offerings can be sent that way. We would love to start a conversation.
Cool. And how does one become an Aaliyah?
That's set up to be a porch host, and we only open up the signups for a short time, and it's typically February of the year. So come February next year, maybe even January, we'll start sooner. Not sure. We try to start everything sooner every year by a week or two, and it still feels like we could use more time. So,
Makes
yeah.
sense. It's a lot of planning. Josh, Jessica, Aaliyah, this has been a lot of fun, and I'm so much looking forward to this event. I can't wait. We're just a week away, and it feels, oh my God, we're here again. Like, it feels
We're
like
so
last year
fast.
was so close, and I'm just so excited that we're back. So, thank
Very
you all.
true.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review, or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.